This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so this week's shiur is based on Purim. It's entitled Purim, Esther, and the Mossad. It's a fascinating, fascinating topic. Let me begin by giving you some background. Perhaps the most famous spy in recent Jewish history is a man called Eli Cohen. You've all heard of Eli Cohen, I'm sure. He was a very successful spy who infiltrated the Syrian government in the 1960s as an agent for the Mossad. And he was so successful at the time of his capture. Sadly, he was captured and killed. He was hung. But at the time of his capture, he was third in line for the Syrian presidency. So he had become very senior in the hierarchy of the Syrian world. And he's best known for the fact that he convinced the Syrians to plant eucalyptus trees above underground bunkers in the Golan Heights. So when the Israeli Air Force, they knew where to target missile strikes in the area. And that led to major Israeli victories in the Six-Day War. But that is Eli Cohen. Perhaps a lesser known spy is someone called Mordechai Vanunu. I don't know if you've heard of him. But let me tell you his story, because, interestingly, it has a bearing on Purim and the whole story of the Megillah. So, a much lesser-known spy in modern times is an American Israeli by the name of Cheryl Bentov, or Cindy. That was her code name for a top-secret Mossad mission that helped avert one of the greatest risks to Israeli intelligence and security in recent decades. This is the story. Mordechai Vanunu is a Moroccan Jew born in 1954 who immigrated to Israel as a young child. He received an Orthodox education and eventually served in the Israeli army. In the early 1980s, Vanunu worked as a technician in the Negev Nuclear Research Center in Dimona, in Israel, the site of Israel's then top secret nuclear weapon production facility, an installation that to this day has never been officially confirmed as a weapons manufacturer site. Even as a student, Mordechai Vanunu was a staunch anti-war protagonist and led many protests against Israeli military decisions, especially the 1981 airstrike on the Iraq's nuclear reactor. In 1986, he decided to leave Israel and travel to Australia. However, before he left, he managed to take approximately 60 secret photographs of the Negev Nuclear Research Center and smuggled them out of the country. Once in Australia, he affiliated himself with the Anglican Church and eventually travelled to London. In September 1986, he approached the London Sunday Times with the photos he had taken, and he accepted a large sum of money in exchange for the classified photos. The newspaper was scheduled to publish the sensitive information in early October. The publishers urged Vanunu to remain in the security of his hotel room in the meantime, for fear of that his divulging of secrets pose a risk to his personal safety. However, on September 30th, 1986, the New York Times reported that Mordechai Vanunu was missing without a trace. Not long afterward, Vanunu was in Israel in custody, preparing to be tried for treason and espionage against Israel. Press reports that revealed that Mossad agents brought Vanunu back to Israel for trial. Secret agent Cindy, posing as a young American woman, met Vanunu at a social function in London shortly before he disappeared. The two initiated a romantic relationship, and Cindy subsequently convinced him to travel with her to her sister's apartment in Rome. In the process, Vanunu was kidnapped by Mossad operatives who smuggled him covertly back to Israeli soil. While precise details of the operation are unclear, it seems that Cindy seduced Vanunu and encouraged him to follow her to Rome, a strategy known in the intelligence world as a honey trap. At the time of the operation, Cindy was already married to Israeli Ofer Bentov, also an Israeli intelligence officer. The Bentovs currently reside in Orlando in Florida. Cheryl Bentov sells timeshare properties and they maintain a residence in Netanya in Israel. Okay, fascinating story, not so well known, with a London connection. The question is, was Cindy, Cheryl Bentov, married, a Jewish lady, married to a Jewish man, an Israeli man, allowed to do what she did? Is she allowed to commit znus, to engage in physical relations with this fellow, albeit with the higher goal of saving the Jewish people, so that he wouldn't divulge this very sensitive security information. And if you're going to tell me that it's not allowed, how do we deal with Esther? Esther Hamalka, who by all in everyone's view is one of the great heroines of the Jewish people, what is different with her story? She lives with Ahasuerus, again, for the higher purpose of saving the Jewish people. So how does Halacha look at Cindy? And what are the parameters? Are you allowed to violate Loisinov, sexual immorality, to save the Jewish people? That's really the question. Now, a few words of introduction. Take a look at your sheet. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golko@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Take a look at the first box. Pasuk in Achrimus, famous Pasuk. Ushmartem es chukaisa ves mishpotai asher ya'aseh isom ha'odom v'chai bohem. Famous pasuk, the Gemara in Yuma says, "Minayin lepikuach nefesh shedoiches haShabbos." How do we know that Rachmana Lislan, a person collapses, has a heart attack, a woman in labor on Shabbos? How do you know that you can break Shabbos to save a life? This pasuk, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, "V'chay bohem v'lo shiyomes bohem," that you should live with it and not die by Torah. Live v'chay bohem. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says further, "Kol averes." Next box, "Kol averes shebatorah im omer la'adam aver va'al tehoreg." Any Avera, a person says, if you don't do this Avera, I'm going to kill you. It says the Gemara, Yavar Va'al Yehoreg, violate it. In other words, a person finds himself on a desert island, marooned, nothing to eat but lobsters, shrimps, and crabs. Eat them. V'chai bohem. A person, whatever it may be, 610 out of the 613 mitzvahs, they have to be violated in order to live. However, there are three, which it's Yehorik Valyavar. The Rambam in Hilchas Yesod HaTorah codifies it. Take a look. The Rambam says, "Kol Beis Yisrael Metzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGodl Hazeh Shenem V'Nikdashti B'Zoich B'nei Yisrael U'Muzharin Shloi L'Challoi." Keitzat K'sheyamed Ovid Kechom V'Yanus Yisrael Lavar Lachs Mikol Mitzvah Samus B'Torah. If a non-Jewish person oppresses the Jew and says, "Eat this treif, speak Lashon Hara, whatever it may be, otherwise I'm going to kill you," Ya'avar V'Al Yehorik Shenem, as it says, yeah, v'chai bohem, our posuk. Next halacha, b'med v'ramamurim, when is the above true? B'sham mitzvah, chutz me'avodas kechovim, v'gili arayas, v'shvich astomim. There are three exceptions of three cardinal averas: gili arayas, immorality, shvich astomim, murder, v'avodas kechovim, idolatry. Av'sholosh averas elu, im yoyim alay, aver, alachas mehen, oyte horig, yehorig, v'al yavar. A person has got to give up his life for one of these three things. So the guy puts the gun to your head and says, kill that person, or commit adultery, or serve idolatry. A person has got to give up their life. So that's hakdama number one. So the question is, how could they do what they did? Number two, a very important halacha as well, says the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, last week's Sedra, 2 weeks ago, in b'machteres imotzi hagana v'hikov v'meis ein lo damim. A person is tunneling into your house to try and steal things, ein lo damim, that you're allowed to kill him because there's no guilty verdict if he is tunneling in to try and steal from you. Says Rashi, ein zur tzicha. If you were to attack him and kill him, that's not considered murder. How you kameis meikara, because he's got the status of a dead man. Why? Kan limedcha Torah in bala hagcha ashkeim lahargoi. The famous din of a roidef, that it's as if he's coming in. And the Rashi explains further, because he knows that a person is not ma'amid atzmei, he doesn't just stand by and watch someone take his candlesticks. And he knows he's going to fight back. Leficha chamanas came ba, therefore the intruder came with the understanding that he's going to have to fight and maybe he's going to have to kill the guy. Therefore he's got a din of a roidef, and therefore you're allowed to preempt that and to attack him. Okay, those are the two words of introduction. Now, let's think about Esther. Take a look at box number four. When Mordechai says to Esther, you have to go into Ahasuerus, Esther says famously to Mordechai, Lech knois es kol hayudim, go gather all the Jews, hanimtzoim b'shushan, v'tzumu alai, and fast for me. Al toichlu al tishtu shleishes yom, don't eat, don't drink for 3 days, yomim v'layla, And we will also fast for you. In other words, the whole of Klal Yisrael are fasting for 3 days and for 3 nights. And then, and then she says those famous words, because I'm going to go into the Melech Hashem lo kados, v'kasher ovadati ovadati. Says Rashi, says the Gemara in the Megillah on these words, Ad Hashem lo kados. I'm not going in legally, according to the rules. What does that mean? Omer Rabbi Abba, shelo kados hoyo. Shebechol yoyim v'yoyim ad achshav ba'inus. Because until now, she was going in, it was ba'inus. She was summoned by Achashverosh, so therefore it was against her will. So therefore, if it was not consensual, so therefore she can continue to be married. She was married, says the Gemara, to Mordechai. So therefore she can continue staying married to Mordechai because she was being violated against her will. However, says the Gemara, the next line, V'kasheh avadati avadati, k'shem shavadim beis abo kach ovedimcho. Because now, achshav berotzen. Now, when I'm initiating this liaison, I'm going into Achashverosh, so then it's no longer ba'inus. It's no longer forced. I'm going in Beratzen. So if she initiates this, then the consequences are huge. What are the consequences? Kasher vadati ovadati. She tells Mordechai, our marriage is over. She's an Eishes Ish. She's living with another man. And therefore, she's saying, and by the way, you know, people don't realize this, but you know, you ask someone, did the Purim story have a happy ending? Well, yes, of course. Baruch Hashem, there was a day of genocide against the Jewish people, which was averted. But for Esther, and we of course celebrate and Purim is coming up, but for Esther personally, it was tragic. Because there she was, her marriage to Mordechai was over. She was living in the palace with Achashverosh, who was this monster. The Gemara says that he was worse than Haman. She has a child from him. Daryovesh, Darius is called in English, who of course is Jewish because Esther is Jewish. And you picture the scene, this tragic, poignant scene where she's standing over a crib, whispering in this child's ear, saying Shema, saying Hamalach, putting him to bed, and saying, Blai Bayid. Yeah, stay Jewish. And the sad reality is that he married non-Jewish women, and yes, he did some good things for the Jewish people, he gave permission to build the second Beis HaMikdash, but he married and he lived a non-Jewish life. And he married non-Jewish women. His children, Esther's grandchildren, were not Jewish. So it's a very sad ending for Esther personally to the Megillah. And that's all wrapped up in Kasher Avadati Avadati. That's what she means. Now, was she allowed to commit adultery? So take a look at this, the Maharik. Look at the bottom box of the page. It says the Maharik, one of the famous, he's considered a Rishon. V'hinei dova pashatu. Ki Esther lo yosa shum issa. Esther did not do any prohibition, nothing wrong. There wasn't even a smell of an avera. Ela mitzvah rabba osaso. She did a great thing. She hetzila kol Yisrael. She saved the entire Jewish people. V'teida, and I'll prove it to you, says the Maharik. Shari bevoya lifnei hamelech, shor solo ruach hakodesh. When she went into the king, Achashverosh, she had ruach hakodesh. The Perek in Tehillim is based around this. Ayelet HaShach, I think it's called. When she went in, she had Ruach HaKodesh. So you think she's doing an Aveira, she's going to get Ruach HaKodesh? Clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctioned what she did. And other Rabba, Pshito Pshita, she also mitzvah Rabba Ma'oid, clearly she did a great thing. V'chein motzinu b'yal, eshes chover hakeni, sheshopcha hakosov, v'maisa de Sisra. With Yal as well. She lived with Sisra, and the Torah praises her bountifully, tevarech minoshim Yal, like the Imohis. So you see that the Maharik says we're not questioning what Esther did. It's a mitzvah rabbah. She didn't do anything wrong, and so too Yael. Now, let's turn to the next box. There's a very sad question that came to the Shvus Yaakov. Listen to this question. I mean, sometimes you go through Shalit and Shuvas. Shalit and Shuvas are a responsa. It's a whole genre of Jewish literature. You read through it, and you just get a window into the times of the person who is living. So you can go back, Shalit and Shuvas, you can go back a long time. But the Shvus Yaakov, listen to this question. Maisa Shehoya, Kachoya, Siya Shel Bnei Odom, there was a group of people, of Jewish people traveling, Sheholchu B'derech, Ve'echod Mehem Ishto Imoy. There was, like, say, 15 men on a trip, and one of them, their wife, was with them. Ve'hil Eis Erev, Ve'holchu L'maloy Nechot, Somuch L'Yar. they were traveling, you know, go back, I don't know, 100, 150 years, and they were traveling, whatever time it was, and they were traveling in, you know, not like today, on a motorway and all built up, and they came through a forest and they got close to the city, and all of a sudden, Motsu Sham Anshei Belial Ritzchanim, they came across a group of murderous bandits. Shehema Muadim Laharug Nefoshes, they were ready to kill this group of Jewish people. Al Iske Momen, so they could kill them and then take all their money and then run away. And when they realized this group of 15 Yidden, 14 men and this woman, they realized their time was nearly up. They were going to be killed by this group. And they weren't listening when they were pleading for their lives. The woman said to her husband, look, how about this for a plan? We're going to be killed by these people. Let me offer myself to these people. And maybe they'll have their way with me and then they'll take our things, but they won't kill us. They'll spare our lives. And the husband agreed to it, and she agreed to it, and she made this suggestion, and they lived with her, and they let them live. And now, the Achshav Bo Bailod, now the husband comes to the Shvus Yaakov, Bo Lishol, Yishtei Materesle. Can I stay married to my wife? Because she, under duress of death, if she was assaulted against her will, so she's mutter lebaila. Or do we say that she volunteered herself to them? She submitted herself to them, and therefore this is considered beratzon, in which case she has to get divorced from her husband. So how do you look at this tragic case? What a crazy, horrible question. Says the Shvus Yaakov in the Tshuva, V'af Shapir Avda, even though what she did was laudable, was great, Mikol Mokam Yesh La'osra Al-Baila, she has to get divorced from her husband, Af She'en Kan Nidnu Da'Aveira, even though there is no Aveira at all in what she did, she saved the lives of her and her husband and all the group that were traveling with her, She also lahatzolas rabim. She did it lahatzolas rabim. Mikol makom nesra lebayla k'may Ya'el ve'Esther. However, she is still prohibited to her husband in the same way that Ya'el and Esther. Esther, we saw kasha ovadati. She has to now separate from Mordechai. So it's a wonderful thing that you did, said the Shvus Yaakov. It's very no nidin avera, no avera at all, and you saved other people, but you have to separate from your husband. Some says the Noida Bihuda, comes along the Noida Bihuda. He says, "Umikol makom, guf din zeh sheyeh mutar le'esh asish liznus beratzoin." This idea that a married woman can have a relationship beratzoin willingly, kadei lahatzon nefashos, to save lives, einoy Torah. It's not true. It's not the halacha. I don't agree with it. V'lo yoshar be'einayin is not correct in my eyes. Masher roisi be'ezet tshuva that I saw in one responsa. Vehevi Rayam Esther, and they bring a proof from Esther that it's okay and it's okay and it's no problem. Va'ani oimen, I say, kivin she'omru chazal b'chol mishrapin chuz me'avodizor v'gid ha'ratz v'shvichas domim in keim k'she'im mishrapin b'shloish averis halal l'kachin matzinim b'im nefashos. You can't violate the gimel averis chamurus even to save lives. V'Esther Shani, what about Esther? So Esther Shani, Esther is different. She'oise la'tzolos k'al yisrael me'hoidivat kush. Because she saved the entire Jewish people. And that's different. You can't make an analogy that she saved a few people, whereas Esther saved the entire Jewish people. And furthermore, Esther acted on the instruction of Mordechai and his Beis Din, which presumably, Ulai says in Noda Bihuda, was Baruch HaKodesh. So HaKadosh Baruch himself was saying, this is what you need to do. But you can't therefore extend that to this lady, however tragic the story, and that does not permit her to do what she did. So what comes out therefore is a fascinating machlokes between the Shvus Yaakov and the Noda Bihuda, whether in this tragic situation she was allowed to do what she did. That's what emerges. The Shvus Yaakov says, mitzvah, no avera whatsoever, and it's a mitzvah to save the lives of other people. However, she does have to get separated from her husband, but what she did is perfectly sanctioned and allowed in halacha. The Noda Bihuda says, I don't agree with you. And don't bring me a raya from Esther, because that was the whole of Klal Yisrael. Now the question is, true, that's true. Where you say, the Gemara says that if you save the life of one person, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says you save the life of one person as if you save a whole world. But the key word is as if, ki'ilu. Right? It doesn't mean literally. And says in Ezbi Huda, I've got to distinguish between the two. There's a difference between saving the entire Jewish people, Mehoidu Ad Kush, plus sanctioned by Mordechai the Beis and Ulai Ruach HaKodesh, and this lady, who again, we're not, it's a tragic situation, but that's not the whole of the Jewish people, it's the entourage. The question is, what about Cindy? Now that's very, very interesting. Because Cindy, you could argue, maybe her intervening in this way, preventing Mordechai Vanunu to divulge all these nuclear secrets of the state of Israel, maybe the stakes are higher. Maybe we're talking about the lives of millions of people in the state of Israel. Is it an imminent danger? No. But could it be a real danger for many people? Yes. It's who knows? It's a bit unknown. But I'll tell you something interesting. What appears, the Noda Behuda would agree to the Shvus Yaakov, that if it's all of Klal Yisrael, then it seems to be everyone would agree that it's okay. Again, they would have to, should have to separate from a husband. What's the practical difference? Either is it mutter or not? In other words, let's say if Cindy went to the Shvus Yaakov, he would say to her, you'd have to separate from your husband, but mitzvah rabba. No nidnu davera. Presumably. If she went to the Nebi Huda, the Nebi would say, no. Or perhaps, that's my point, or perhaps, maybe even the Nebi Huda would agree that it's okay. Because just the problem with his case was it was a small group of people. Mashen Kein Esther was the whole of Klal Yisrael. How do you look at Cindy? Who was at risk? And that's the difficult question. Now, I just want to share with you one final Marimokam, and that's the Shailas and Tshuvas of the Mishpat Kohen. Who's the Mishpat Kohen? The famous Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Israel. So Rav Kook says something very, very interesting. He says that is the last box over there, that the Tzibur in Eretz Yisrael are considered like the entire Jewish people. Now, what does that mean? Again, this happened in 1989. So I don't know, I didn't look how many Jews were living in Eretz Yisrael at that time. But now, right now, there's 9 million Jews in Israel. Sorry, 9 million people in Israel, with approximately, I think, 8 million Jews. Now, how many Jews are there in the world? I don't know, 15 to 16 million. So we're at the point, we're close to 50% of world Jewry live in Eretz Yisrael. So, but in 1989, it was much less than that. I don't know how many, 5 million people, let's say. So 5 million people out of 15 million back then, I don't know the exact numbers, but it was less than a majority. But says Rav Kook, that a tzibur in Eretz Yisrael are considered like the entire Jewish people. So you could argue that even according to the Noda Behuda, if we follow this logic, then given that the state of Israel, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, were at risk, they have the status of perhaps Klal Yisrael, the entire Jewish people, and maybe the Noda Behuda would agree. But again, this is not a halacha l'maisa shim. Please God, we should never know of such situations. But what's interesting is just a fascinating area in halacha to explore. Violating losinaf to save the Jewish people. What are the parameters of it? No one's questioning what Esther did was. That's what we're celebrating. There's no question about it. But she had to separate from her husband. So just to summarize, the take home from today's shir is that the two hagdomas are very important. Pikuach nefesh and transgressing averis. The pasuk says v'chai bohem. For 610 out of 613 mitzvahs, you have to violate them in order to live. Breaking Shabbos, eating treif, whatever it may be. Three, however, not. There are three yehorek v'aliyavar, shvichas dom, mavid zor, and gilui arayos. That's number one. Number two, there's a concept of roidef. That even though they're not physically attacking you, but if they are coming, there is an imminent danger, the guy is about to reveal secrets, he's not coming with an axe to harm you, but he's about to divulge secrets, that could be considered a rodef. And the halacha is, you can preempt it. So that's an important point as well. Now, was Esther allowed to commit adultery? The Marik says it is very clear. The Marik says, there's no nidna vera, there's no question, it was a mitzvah rabba. However, kashel vadati, she had to separate from her husband, like the Gemara says there in Megillah. The question is, what is the story? To what extent do you extend that? This case of the Shvus Yaakov with this woman submitting herself to these men, was she allowed to do what she did? Says the Shvus Yaakov, it was Hatzolos Rabin. She saved many people's lives. Fantastic. She's got to separate from her husband, but it was a mitzvah to do what she did. Says the Noda Buda, no, I don't agree with you. You can't compare the two. Esther was saving the entire Jewish people. That's why it was allowed to do what she did. Plus, it was on the Hirah of Mardukha and the Beis Din and maybe Ruach HaKodesh. Masha Inkein, this situation, as tragic as it is, who says it's allowed? Perhaps the case of Sindhi and the Mossad agent and Mordechai Vanunu, perhaps you could argue, maybe, there are some sources which suggest that the Tzibur and Etzrot are considered like the entire Jewish people, and therefore maybe even the Nodi Huda would be in agreement. But anyway, food for thought, Miss Hashem, we should not have to, this should only be in the theory, and but it's something very interesting to think about as we approach the Yom Tov of Purim. Yeah?
If you think like the Shvus Yaakov, then wouldn't it be that even before Esther volunteered herself, wouldn't she still have to be separated from Mordechai? Because he's saying that even though she, in that case, the wife was only doing it because she felt like she had to, he still had to separate. So then in that line, thinking, wouldn't Esther still have to have separated
from Mordechai? She did, indeed.
Before she approached Ahasuerus, even before that point.
Right, so but the point is, once that Avera, let's say, that act of initiating that liaison with Ahasuerus, which was done by Rotzoin, so then from that point in time, she has to separate.
Because that's a comfort point. Before then it wasn't.
Before then it's not. The question is, by the way, why didn't she get a divorce from Mordechai?
She thought maybe she would go.
So that's the truth is, Tosis asked the Kasha there in the Gemara Megillah, and that is something for you to look into over Purim. Enjoy. Say that. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.